Let us bow our heads and pray. Gracious Father, most blessed Savior, we thank you that you chose us from the beginning of the world to be your holy people. So as we come to your word, help us sanctify our minds through your spirit, that we may listen carefully to the matters of our faith. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. I hope we are enjoying watching World Cup. Yesterday I was just imagining the World Cup without the Germany team as they were struggling against Sweden. But yet I watch how they applied their minds in the second half. And at the end, it paid them. They won the game. Today we are looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. Chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. We are surveying the purity in the church. Ukuhlanzeka kwebandla. And our title for today is, You are called to stay pure in your Christian life. This simply means that every follower of Christ is called to lead a flawless life so that the community which he belongs to is kept holy and pure. And Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4b confirms that the purpose of him choosing us before the foundations of the world is that we should be holy and blameless before him. Let's consider again the World Cup Championship in Russia. Every player that has been chosen to represent his nation or country carries the name of his country in these championships. It is expected of them all that they should apply their minds in the field and off field so that they do not bring their nation into disrepute. Every team that contests in this championship are considering themselves champions until the overall champion is crowned. So it is with our Christian life. We are in the course of championship, or we are in the race of championship. Each believer is moving towards his crown or her crown. Therefore, we are to live as champions daily. And in order for us to succeed in keeping our lives and the church pure, we need to apply our minds in the matters of our faith. And by so doing, we will be partially fulfilling God's eternal purpose for us in this age. Let me repeat that. We will be partially fulfilling God's purpose. Why I'm saying partially? It is only Christ who will make us completely pure on his return. Hence, there is, friends, in some areas of our Christianity, the idea that we can fulfill holiness in this life. We cannot, friends, but we can strive and pray and live the holy lives. So I don't want us now to think that we can have greater works that can purify us. And Paul here, in order for us to learn in this text, that is Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 27, he sets a tone for us on how we can begin to purify our church and live the life that is flawless. He's using here a learning tool of putting side by side the two contrasting things or ideas, so that we can see the differences clearly. He's using the juxtaposition, which he put by side, a pagan life, in verses 17 to 19, to evaluate how they reason and how they apply their minds daily to the matters of life. And from verse 20 to 24, he put the Christian thought and gives his testimony on how they are supposed to be living or thinking daily. This is like placing color black and color white for kids so that they may judge which one is this mother's color. Paul's central focus in these verses is the reasoning of unbelievers and believers, how they see life and the consequences of their thinking thereof. And in verses 17 to 19, Paul seems to have observed closely how unbelievers live, how they think, and what influences their reasoning. Hence, as he begins to give his testimony about the pagan life, in verses 17 to 19, he warns believers not to live by the carnal mind. What is the carnal mind? It is the mind of the world. The carnal mind is the natural mind which everybody born of a man possesses, and it is corrupted by sin of Adam and Eve. Do not think that when a newborn baby is coming on earth, he's like a holy angel. From birth, she or he desperately need the renewal of his or her spirit, of his mind, heart, body, and soul. Then Paul declares that the power that influences pagan life is the corrupted fleshly mind, that is our natural mind, which has been weakened from its intellectual ability by sin. And hence this mind cannot lead anyone to everlasting life or to complete abundance of life, the life that begins in this age to flourish and never cease. Instead, our carnal mind leads daughters and sons of God to eternal destructions. Hence, Paul warns all those who believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not to live by this carnal mind any longer. This was the condition of all men at the beginning in Genesis 6, chapter 11 to 16, which says that all thoughts of mankind were evil, and God decided to end all flesh. And indeed, he wiped all flesh, but saved only one family. He saved Noah and his family. So, which means being led by the human mind brings God's wrath. It does not look at the worstler thing. It does not look at the matters of life that are very important, but rather our minds looks to the world and see us as the permanent residents of this world. It cannot make us to cross over our natural abilities of thinking and make us to discern the will of God about this life. Hence the psalmist in Psalm 119, verses 37, he pleads to God and us and says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity, and revive me in your ways." So which means the psalmist in the original language or Hebrew language, he says, my eyes or my mind cannot see beyond my natural abilities. I cannot discern your will. I cannot understand what is your purpose about this life. But we are the only one who can draw me to you, who can make my eyes to look through the other side of life, other than looking to this world. Friends, this is true about all of us. We were at some point, we lived a pagan life. It is our previous life before we came to know God. God alone provided for me and you the means and the strength to cross over from the carnal mind. He made our eyes to see and go away from looking at empty, worthless things and cause us to come alive in his ways. Hence, some of us have left some important things today, and we came here to listen from God's word, from God's word. And in this, Paul, in the book of Ephesians, he once reminded us in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, that we were at some point being led by Satan, by the world, and by our own flesh. Hence, friends, it is always important whenever there is a thing that we need to make a decision on, apply God's word unto it so that you should not be led by your natural mind. Verses 18 shows us that unbelievers, as they're being led by this kind of a mind, they are estranged from God, which means they are excluded from God. They are enemies of God. They are enemies of the creator of the world. You can imagine if a person comes in your house or in your yard and stays in your yard, but he does not have a relationship with you. What will you do? If you've got a gun, you will go out and shoot the person. This is also, friends, so with us, if we do not have a saving knowledge with our Master, with our Creator. In this world, we may see many people groups, but in reality, the group in God's perspective are only two. Are those who belong to Him, and as well those who do not belong to Him, who are excluded from Him. But because of common grace, because when the rain comes, it rains for unbeliever and even those who do, it comes for unbelievers and even for the believers. So that thing on its own might cheat us and deceive us. We think that God loves everybody else. Yes, He loves everyone, but He wants all people to go beyond their carnal mind and be spiritual minded. So here in these verses, Paul, he's narrating to us how the pagan life is influenced. That it is influenced, first of all, by their minds. Secondly, by the devil. Thirdly, by the world. So which means when the worldly forces, they come unto them, they cannot say, this is not for me. When the devil comes their way, they cannot say, these are the tricks of the devil. Everything to them is accepted. Hence, Paul, as he moves on, he says in verses 19, they are like having a license to do evil. He's concluding his testimony now about pagan life, about the life of the unbelievers. What does he mean when he says they are like as if they are having a license to do the evil thing? He just means that at whatever thing that they think to do, there is nothing that stops them. They simply do it. They simply do it. But that is not so with us who are led by the Spirit. Don't be surprised, friends, when you see here in South Africa that there are a number of rapes increasing. And as well, when you see that there is much wickedness, you find a person or a father who's supposed to be a protector of his daughter. Nevertheless, how the daughter came to be his. But the fact is one, if he's a father, he has got a mandate to protect. But instead, he sends that child to a sorrowful life, to a misery life. He rapes the child from a childhood. So that person, don't be surprised when a person does that. It is because of the desires of the flesh. It is because he does not have the Spirit of God. So these are the consequences, friends, of the carnal mind. It is for this reason, Paul, he's pleading with us as believers to watch. Which mind is operating in my life? Am I still using the very same old mind that I was born with? Or am I a new person now? So in verses 20 to 24, he asks us believers and encourages us that friends be led by this spiritual mind, the mind of Christ. He's beginning now to pull us through now to Christian life and its values. He's saying at verses 20, you have been taught about Christ. You have heard about Christ. Which means what he simply says, he's that in order for you or for me to cross from the carnal mind, I do need to do a self-denial. I do need to ask whenever I'm about to take a question and ask what does the Bible say to me. That is simply what he's saying at verses 20, that we have been taught about the mind of Christ. We have received Christ. Therefore, be spirit-led. Be spirit-led. And his first prayer in this book of Ephesians, if we remember, friends, when we go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 23, there he says, I pray that your hearts may be enlightened. What does it mean to be enlightened? It means that the heart has to be illuminated. How does our hearts being enlightened? We've got the Spirit of God when we begin to believe in him. And that Spirit of God which dwells in us is the one that clicks in me when I think of doing an evil thing. And it watches me and tells me what we are about to do now is ungodly. Rather pray or rather meditate in another way. Hence, if we remember, friends, when going back to the Old Testament, when Joshua was about to begin his war, when he was about to take the children of Israel to Canaan, he was asked one thing in Joshua chapter 1, verses 8. And God said to him, meditate in these words so that in everything that you do, you will be successful. It is so for us as well, friends, that if we know Christ, we've got the Bible at our disposal. So always, let's go to the Bible and see what does it tells before we take the decisions. In verses 20 to 21, he reminds us that since we have turned away from our sins and accepted Christ, and we understand Christ, therefore, we need to allow Christ to fashion us. Then he calls us in verses 22 into action. What is this action? He says, get rid of the old self. This is an instruction, a command. If, friends, we do not allow the word of God to keep on sanctifying us daily and daily, surely, friends, we will not manage to rid ourselves of our natural and corrupted mind. We need to take an action. God has taken the action by initial sanctifying us and setting us apart for him. And he will as well fulfill that mandate on our glorification. But in between that, you and me have got the responsibility to engage ourselves to God's word so that we may be progressively sanctified. Siqhubeke njalo, sihlanzeka, sigezwa. And the only way, it is for each and every believer to go through the God's word and apply God's word. Hence these verses 22, alludes as well to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, where Paul says, therefore now that you have accepted Christ, then keep on minding about the spiritual things other than minding about your own things. Which means, it is not enough, friends, to be informed in our minds about Christ. We need to get rid of the old self and pick up the new self. Why? This will be showing that according to verse 23 to 24, we have grasped the idea of the new creation. The idea of new creation is that if you believe in God's Son, instantly you are a new self. You are a new being. You belong to a new family. And this family is so special to God. He admires to stay among these people. If we can go back, friends, into Numbers chapter 25, verses 6, we find another person who was an Israelite. Right at the midst when the people of Israel, they have prostituted themselves with the Moabite ladies. He goes out in front of the church, in front of the congregation, and in front of Moses. He goes and pick up a Midian woman. Was he not escalating impurity of the church? Of course, he was escalating, increasing uncleanness in the church. Even though he saw what happened to those who prostituted with the Moabite woman, God destroyed all those people. And what was supposed to be happening in him? The same thing which happened to those who went and take the women from Moab. He was also stoned to death. What does this tell us, friends? If you don't want to get rid of your old self, then surely you are facing God's wrath. God is going to judge each and every deed that we do while we know Him. This calls us, friends, that when the Word of God is preached to us, is taught to us, let's allow the Word of God, if we really grasp the new creation, to cleanse us daily and daily, so that we may be able to live in new ways and do the right things time and again. Then if we do that, we will be the champions of our faith. We'll be the champions of keeping God's church pure. So friends, let us get rid of our old way of thinking daily. Not only getting rid of it daily, let us cultivate the standard of God by reading the Bible and carefully analyzing it. What does it mean to me today? How can we do that? It's simple. Let's be diligent, friends, in attending whatever fellowship that God has set apart for us in our church, either on a Sunday or just during the week. It is very important, friends, to grow in our spiritual life so that at the end, no one misses the crown that is from Christ and our God the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us to be your children. So we come to you, Heavenly Father, as we have heard your word. Help us, Master, to hear your word and apply your word in our lives so that our lives may be changed daily and be fashioned in the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.